Welcome back. You're listening to Voices from the Frontlines. You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles. This upcoming month in April, the Minutemen Project, which is responsible for recruiting vigilante militias from of almost 1,000 white supremacists, primarily white supremacists, to detain, capture, and harass Latino immigrants on the Arizona-Mexico border. And it's planned for the whole entire month. And we have Mariana Gonzalez with the National Alliance for Human Rights to talk to us about this very issue. Welcome to the show, Mariana.
Thank you.
Well, Mariana, why don't you first talk to us about who is the Militiamen Project? Where do they come from? How are they funded? And what are they planning to do in April?
Well, the Minuteman Project is actually an outgrowth from the efforts that have been conducted on the border probably for the last 3 years. And that has to do with ranchers primarily who said they were taking up arms, initiating efforts to protect their properties against the undocumented who were crossing through them. It just so happens that now more individuals have jumped on this bandwagon, and it comes out of Orange County specifically that have organized this project, Mr. Gilchrist, who took it upon himself really to start recruiting individuals who will be willing to take on the undocumented. And even though they say it's a peaceful effort, the fact is that they're saying that they're going to stop them by whatever means they have to stop the influx. Well, that doesn't exactly sound to me like a peaceful effort. And so the monies come from various sources. We don't, we haven't really pinpointed exactly where every dollar comes, but an effort like this requires a great deal of money. They're able to utilize the internet, which in essence is pretty much a freebie. But the fact is, setting up logistics for such a large number of individuals to live in Douglas for this period of time or along the Sonora-Arizona border, that still costs money. It's interesting that people would be willing to invest so much time and so much energy in taking on the poor instead of trying to find a solution to what is driving both our draw of poor people to work for less and a country that is pushing them out as well based on their lack of jobs to provide for these individuals.
Well, Mariana, I've been thinking about this issue a lot because, you know, I know that for the last years, there's been a growing militia movement in Arizona, and Arizona just actually was able to successfully pass in the last elections Proposition 200, which was something almost similar to Prop 187 that was passed here in the early 90s back here in California, which would prevent most immigrants to receive any kind of social services and, in fact, would even fine actual public officials who would provide service. But, you know, one of the interesting things is when I was looking at the Militiamen Project website, they're sort of boasting about the large number of Mexican-Americans and even indigenous people who are involved in the movement. What do you think is happening right now when there, in many ways, even in Arizona, about 30% of the Latino community did vote for Prop 200? What's happening in our own community that we're not able to either reach to, or what are we not doing that the right is able to win some of our own forces?
Well, let me start out by making this statement. This country has a history of having laws on its books that make discrimination and bigotry legal. Those same individuals, be they Latino, Asian, Black, Native American, women, forget that this country also had laws on its books that were against its population, its segment of the population. We had laws on our books that said slavery was legal. We had laws on our books that denied women the right to vote, right to own property. We had poll taxes that denied Mexicanos, Latinos the right to vote. We had internment camps for Asians during a war, and all that was legal. But the reason that we're taking on this effort is because of the fact that any law that is on the book that is immoral, which is what this process is, when you go hunting down individuals solely, and their only crime is that they're poor and that they're looking for work, we have to sometimes take on our own, because the same way that those laws were on the books, not everyone agreed that they should be removed, or that they should be overturned, that they should be rescinded. We can't have every Mexicano agreeing with the fact that everyone has the right to exist Unfortunately, our country does a good job of making us idiots. It breeds idiots. From Washington on down, we are willing to protect our own individual right, but we don't understand that we have to protect the rights of others as well. A ranch of hundreds of thousands of acres is not worth more than a human life, regardless of what the ranchers say, regardless of what a Mexicano says, regardless of what a woman says. So we are willing to take on even our own and try to educate them on the process so that they'll understand that these human beings have a right to look for work. Now, if they want to be helpful, if they want to be resourceful, help us figure out a way so that we can have the economies not exploiting these people. They are not an exploitable commodity in the eyes of God. It's only in our eyes that we've made them these subjects to be exploitable.
Well, Mariana, I clearly, obviously, you understand that we understand that, and I think that the main point is that one of the things that I've been thinking a lot about, you know, even recently, we have a big mayoral race happening here between Antonio Villaraigosa and James Hahn, two fairly, I would say, progressive forces, and particularly Antonio Villaraigosa. And, you know, I was just recently reading a pamphlet discussing, you know, with the positions of the different candidates in the Liberty Hill Foundation. It's a pretty liberal foundation that gives a lot of money to a lot of amazing social organizations here in Los Angeles. And in the question around immigration, he sort of had to preface by saying, well, I don't condone, you know, illegal immigration. So I think part of the problem that's happening is that within our own forces, many folks who are even on our side are relatively adopting the line of the right in many ways.
And maybe how so that we understand it clear, we need to determine what our side is.
Mm.
Our side is not the color of our skin. Our side is not our ethnicity. Our side is protecting the rights of human beings. And again, it goes back to the politics. These people sway according to what they assume is going to be the electorate. So while they may come to our events and they may shake the hand of the undocumented woman who's cleaning their floors in their home or watching their kids, the fact is when they're out in public, there's a denial process that takes place. And they're willing to reject those individuals that they know down in their heart deserve to be protected. But because they're trying to lose votes, they're willing to sell them out. And I think that we need to hold these individuals accountable. I'm a Mexicana, but I'll tell you what, I think we need to be mature enough and moral enough not to vote for individuals just based on their ethnicity, but it's on what they stand for. And are they willing to take a stand? Because someday they may be standing for us. Right now we want them to stand tall for the undocumented who need protection. Someday that might be us that they're standing tall for, to protect our rights. And if they're not willing to stand for these individuals, how can we expect them to stand for us?
Well, I think you're right. This is Eric Mann, Maya. Very nice to have you on the show.
Thank you.
And I think you're a really good spokesperson. We have to get you out there more, and we're glad you... You know, I mean, I think what you said is really true, that, I mean, look, in every single oppressed group, I mean, the very, very tragic role of a small number, but a significant number of Jews who collaborated with the Nazis against their own people. It's tragic that at the same time they were bringing Japanese Americans into concentration camps. Many were volunteering for World War II in an all-Japanese unit to try to prove to the system how loyal they were. We've had similar problems, you know, I would say problems, with certain black GIs who at the time of tremendous discrimination and racism at home are trying in some way to fight that racism by being ultra-patriotic. So I think you're doing a really good job of saying that we all progressives have to take on within our own race and ethnicity the people inside our group who are moving against the best interests of the majority. Let's move you down back to Arizona now that we know what they're doing. What are you doing to counteract it? Are you doing things? Are other groups going to do things? What's on the agenda and what do you want people to do?
Well, thank you so much. We're going to be actually conducting a bi-national strategy, and that is that we'll have activities that are going to be taking place on the Mexico side, in Agua Prieta specifically, which is on the other side of Douglas, Arizona, to show Mexicanos that we're there with them. and not the bureaucrats that are pushing the Mexicano out, but those Mexicanos who really feel the pain and suffering of those individuals who are crossing and dying in the desert and who want to work to find a means by which to come up with a solution to this whole issue of an economy that is willing to enslave people. At the same time, we're going to be working on the United States side as legal observers, and we're hopefully going to have the ACLU that's going to be providing training to us, because I think that one of the most important roles that we play is making sure that our presence out there hopefully helps to prevent anything physical from happening to these individuals that are crossing. One would utopically like to think that individuals are not going to be crossing because of the fact that of all the people who are going to be watching the border with weapons, possibly. But the fact is that they don't have a choice but to cross during this period of time, because this is when the conditions allow for easier travel, be it weather-wise or be it it's the seasonal period that calls them to do the works in the jobs either in the field or in the service industry. So what we want to do is make sure that we're on both sides of the border, lending support, showing people that we care. And for all those people who don't agree with us, well, so be it. But we have a strong enough core of individuals that are willing to stand up and work in whatever capacity we can to take on this issue.
Manina, can you talk about, I know a couple months ago I was reading how, not to give that much credit to the Bishop Mission, but they did do something positive, which was that the Office of Civil Rights was going to send at least some forces to begin to document the violations that the vigilante groups in Arizona were establishing. Is that true?
Well, I'll tell you what. The only lawsuits that I know of that are really on the books right now are the one that is Maldek has filed, which was against the sheriff as well as Barnett, who's one of the ranchers. And the second is the Border Action Network that is actually going to begin to also file a suit against this whole process. You know, it's one thing, and any of us, I mean, those of us, especially those of us who listen to KPFK, should know by now that whatever comes out of Washington, D.C. sometimes is only hot air, and sometimes only wants to, they're real good at delivering sound bites and maybe a process that goes out on paper, but the implementation of it, the enforcement of it is not always there. I don't know of anything that the federal government is doing at this very point, at this time, to make sure that this does not take form. I don't hear them going after Mr. Gilchrist out of Orange County. I don't hear them going after any of the ranchers. I don't hear them setting up troops, not to protect against the border crossing, but to protect our own people from doing harm against these individuals who are crossing. I don't hear them doing any of that. So whatever symbolic gesture they made really was to placate most Mexicanos, who it doesn't take much to placate. Those of us who understand the baloney that they dish out don't buy it.
Mariana, well, give us some dates here. What's the timeline? I know the Minuteman Project is planning a whole month of activities. Is that the same thing you're going to counter? And where can people get also in contact with you?
Well, I'm hoping that KPFK will help us here. Is that the National Alliance for Human Rights, because we're such a loose network of individuals and organizations, we don't have it up on our website. But if you go to Border Action Network, they have a list of activities that they are proposing. You have also the Coalition for Human Rights out of Arizona that is proposing activities, and ours as well. And if you would put it on your website or some kind of a link to the email that I have sent you, that I sent you earlier, it has a pretty good chronology of all the activities that are going to take place throughout the month of April. Starting actually in the month of March, we're going to be participating, at least in the support role, the efforts of the Border Action Network, starting from March 31st.
And I see that you're going to have a meeting on March 26th at the Zacatecas restaurant.
And that's real important, exactly, because of the fact that we want to make sure that we get as many volunteers as possible confirmed, that we have our logistics straight, and more importantly than anything is to make sure that we have a uniform, unified voice when it comes to this issue.
Well, Mariana, here's the address I know for Zacatecas Restaurants, 2472 University Avenue. That's at Riverside, California. What's the number they can get in contact with you, Mariana?
Well, there's a couple of numbers, three numbers, actually, I'd like to give you. First of all, there's Armando Navarro, who is the coordinator of the National Alliance for Human Rights. His is 951-827-1826. You also have Felipe Aguirre, who's out of Los Angeles, and who's going to help organize that contingent of individuals. And his is 323-560-1111. And then you can call me gladly, and I'll be organizing the Riverside transportation, as well as also setting up the list of legal observers. And my number is 951-743-7173.
Well, we'd like to thank Mariana Gonzalez. We were talking about from the National Alliance for Human Rights. So stay tuned. We'll be back with Nicole Lee from Books Without Bars from Oakland.
Well, thank you.